Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Just let your Holy Spirit minister to us as we are here together, Lord, that, Lord, that you may minister to each person is here, Lord. Whatever the situations, Lord, we know that it's your desire for us to come in contact with you and to receive from you the direction and the understanding that we need to have to fully appreciate what you had done about 2,000 years ago for us, Lord, that we may be able to realize and to appropriate all the things that you have done, that we may come to know, Lord, the joy that it should be the result of us receiving everything that you have done. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, today. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we know that your desire is to have a fellowship with us, to have us to connect with you, and to have everything that you have done manifested in our lives. And we just thank you and praise you for that. Just today, as a special day in which we celebrate, just we ask you that your presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, may be here to minister life to each one that needs to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Really, I wanted to, share a few things about Christmas. I don't know how many of you know, but Christmas was not celebrated for the first 300 years of Christianity. The first record of Christmas celebration was in 335, when the bishop, I think, in Rome made a record about the fact that Christmas was, the believers were coming together to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But up to that time, nobody ever did anything for Christmas. It's an interesting thing, because and one of the reasons is that in those days, they didn't celebrate birthdays, period. What they were celebrating was people's death, not birthdays. It's funny, but that's really the way it was, because, you know, that was a time in which people would go into to go with the Lord, and so it was an important time. But birth, you know, was a time it was difficult in those days. They didn't know if the child would live or die. And so there was there always a sense of not knowing what's going to happen. And so they did not celebrate birthdays. Started actually, even generally, you know, even birthday was celebrated only later on in, I think, 1400. So it was not really something that was done before. Okay. Now, it's interesting to see that also, you know, there are some Christian groups that don't celebrate Christmas. They don't believe and say it is not scriptural, because, first of all, you know, the scriptures don't talk about it, and there is no mention in the Bible. And second, because they felt that there was something that was not corresponding to what the teaching were on the Bible, on the church. So I want to address this to resolve that issue once for all, because we have to understand you know, the principle according to which we have to operate. It's not just a question of celebrating anything, or it's a question of doing something that is corresponding, that's biblical. Okay? So the one of the reasons why they not celebrating Christmas is because it was a tradition of men and was not established in the Bible. Okay? Well, yes, there is a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, that says, you know, making void the word of God with your tradition. But that was a scripture that was referring to specifically a situation in which the tradition of man was negating some of the scripture teaching. In this case, there is no anything that negates the scriptural teachings. It's, in that case, was a question that they justified themselves not to do what the Bible is saying because of their tradition. Well, we don't know. This doesn't apply in this particular situation, so that by itself should be, not an element of consideration. The other one was in Galatians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. When Paul makes an observation about, that some of the events that were taking place in those days. Now, we had to realize that Galatians was written by Paul to clarify some of the ideas that people were trying to reintroduce the law of the New Testament into the Old Testament into the New Testament. So he was, new Christians were trying to reestablish all the feasts that the Jews were celebrating, and so they were doing that kind of activities that really had nothing to do with Christianity. So he was saying, in that case, what he said here in those verses, was, you observe days, months, and seasons, and years, and I'm afraid for you that you may be wasted, have wasted my labor with you. So the idea, dear, is not a question of just a question of celebrating. We are not celebrating a day, okay? Jesus was not born December 25th, okay? So one has to understand that. One, we celebrate an event. We celebrate the fact that Jesus was born, and there is nothing wrong about doing that, okay? It's not a question. So, people tend sometimes to be too legalistic about things. What you have to do is instead, what is the result? What is your intention? What, what are you really doing in celebrating Christmas? That's what counts. And if you are there worshiping God and connecting with Him, this is really what is important. Again, Galatians, in the same script, in the same book, it was there, it was saying, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. And do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but love and serve one another. And this is the idea that, whatever we do, we should do it. And this is also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatever, therefore, you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if you can do something for the glory of God, if you magnify God, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay? So that is, one of the things that one of the reasons why I'm generally don't talk about that, but last week I got a phone call from a lady that wanted to come to church, and she asked me if we were celebrating Christmas. I said, yes. And one day I turned her off, and she's not coming because, they don't celebrate Christmas. Okay, well, it's their problem. We are free to do that as long as we do it in the right way. And this is where comes the important point, because, all the world, more or less, celebrate Christmas over this period of time. Now, they were even starting to change things to the point that they didn't even call them Christmas anymore. Merry or, season greetings or stuff like that. Well, different countries, they do different things. The point is, what are you really doing? Okay, for most of the people, really the only thing that happens is they're busy, go around shopping, buying gifts, spending money, trying to have deals, and go to parties, drink, and indulge in stuff. I mean, maybe they can have, some family gathering, which could be something, not necessarily bad. It was a good thing. But the point is, most of the time is spent has nothing to do with Christmas. Nothing to do with the reason why we are celebrating. And so really that is really not what is intended to be. See, at the end of the days of Christmas, that is just not just one day, but all the preparations and all the things. What is the results of you on your life spiritually? Do you feel closer to God than you were before? Or do you feel like finally this thing is over and we can concentrate and go back to the normal routine and start praying and doing other things? That's what really makes the difference. So it's not the question of a general statement about Christmas. It's a question of what you do with it. How do you relate to God at this particular time of the year? That's what makes the difference. Okay. And really, to be able to relate to Him properly, you have to understand what took place at that time. Understand all the implications of what took place at that time. You have to understand what happened 2,000 years ago and believe in what happened or what the Bible says. Because, you know, if you don't believe, you can know the story, but you don't believe it, you can't celebrate Christmas. You maybe can have a party, but there is no celebration of Christmas. You are just trying to have a good time. Okay. That has absolutely no result on you. Now, we can use that, but we can talk about that in a bit later. The idea is that, you know, why we celebrate Christmas. And, you know, one of the things is, you see, you can ask your children, if you have children, and says, you know, why do we celebrate Christmas? And Lillian did it with the children in the nursery. And she was really surprised because, you know, she had to really put it out about Jesus because everybody was talking about something else. That show, this is church. All right. I'm not making this up, but this is what really happens to here. And so the consequences of that is really we have to start teaching them from when they are young so that they have the understanding, because otherwise it's just a party. And our objective is not to have a party. Our objective is to celebrate what the event that took place 2,000 years ago, which was actually an important event that took place. So I'd like to see some of the scripture related to that. And I'd like to, you know, see how they apply to us today. I'm not going to be able to read everything on the event and so on, because some of the things may, you know, I want to stress something, some of the impact for us about what's taking place today here. Okay. So the idea is really, how should we celebrate Christmas? Okay. Let's start with the event that took place. You know, I'm going to Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and starting to read a few verses from there. Okay, Luke 2:8. So now there were some in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." So you see, this is giving some prophetic statement about what's going to happen. Okay, there was nothing specific at that moment. There was all this great joy that they could see. He was talking about the impact of Jesus' birth, or that event that was taking place. And it was not just for there, for that particular place, or just for the Jews, was for all people. So we can see the impact it should have on us today, and our response to that should be great joy. All right? It's okay to have great joy for what was taking place. Okay? But it's not just for a limited number of people. It would be for all people. And everybody that was going to take benefit and advantage of it is going to be able to experience it. The other ones, they may have some parties, period. Nothing else. Okay? So, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, is Christ the Lord. Now, you know, when you make something like that and somebody does know the Old Testament, does not know the understanding about why we need a Savior, most of the people don't think they need a Savior. So how they are going to be able to appreciate the fact that Jesus was born? There's not going to be any possible reaction of joy or understanding because it's, well, there are millions of children born all the time. But this was a particular situation. This was answering, you know, fulfilling scripture and prophecies for hundreds of years. From the very beginning, there was announcing that time. God was preparing something. And he had planned this from the very beginning. And this plan was in such a way that would set people free from the bondages they came in with the original problem, the original sin, the original separation from God. God's desire was to reestablish his relationship with people, with men. And man could not do it himself. And he had developed a plan, and he had allowed a long time to happen so that plan would be possible. I'm not going to be able to get into the old theological aspect of that because otherwise we'll be here till next week. All right. So next Christmas, no, but that's maybe a bit too much. But no, the idea is this, that, you know, we have to understand. It's not a question, you know, religion is just a formality that people get together to follow certain formulas. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the living God. And we have to understand that. And this is what God wants from us. He wants to have a relationship individually with us. And if all the formalities don't count, what counts is here in your heart position with him and the ability for you to get connected with him so that he can accept you. So your heart has to be in the right place. And he established all these plans so that your heart should be in the right place. So that you can be connected with him. So that he can minister to you. So that he can be your father. Amen. So, and then, so we need to understand that if you are not a believer, Christmas means nothing. It's just an outside thing. But if you are a believer, then the way you see, the way you act, the way you react, the way you do things concerning Christmas should be different than a non-believer. All right? And if it's different, then we have to see what that implies. Okay? So, and then we continue in those verses there. Then we go to some other part of the Bible. So, verse Luke 2:12 says, and this will be a sign to you, you know, the fact that they will find the baby and so on. In verse 13, and suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of angels, heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That was the great joy. The fact that God was not against us, but he was for us. God was, the desire of God was to have a connection with him, and he was taking the initiative. Wasn't man, but was God. Man could not do that, but God himself was taking the initiative to reconnect with man. And he was making it through this baby that was born at that particular time. He was the Savior. To be a savior, that means that somebody needs to be saved. If you don't think that you need to be saved, then you don't need a savior, and you're cannot accept that. You're not going to be able to receive anything. You see, the first thing that we have to recognize is that we need a savior. Then we have to connect with that Savior so that the way is going to save us is going to be able to operate in our life, manifested in us. Okay, so what happened then? Well, what happened then is Jesus was born. And we can go through the story and so on, but that's not the key thing. You know, what we need to see is what was gone behind the scene, what was actually happened in the spiritual world. Because that's what counts. You see, on the physical, it was just at that time, it was just a baby. It was not any different from any other baby on the outside. On the inside, there was a big difference. He was born without sin, while everybody else is born in sin. And that was putting him in a position to be our Savior, otherwise he could not have been our Savior. So the idea that started right there is the fact that he was God's gift to humanity to be able to be saved. Okay, was the one appointed. And in John, the Gospel of John explains his situation and explains what was happening. You know, it says, in the beginning, verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, this shows one thing. That Jesus wasn't just born that day. He was pre-existing forever. He was actually the second person of the Trinity. He was there from the beginning with God, and he became man. And so this is one of the big mystery, if you want, of Christianity that our mind can hardly grasp. How God can become a man. I mean, God can do everything, but seems to me, you know, a stretch for our mind to be able to comprehend and accept that. And if you try to comprehend into your logic, forget it. There is no way that you can, because spiritual things are not logically understood. Bible says very clearly, the spiritual thing needs to be spiritually discerned. If you don't discern them spiritually, that means it has to be a desire to see through your logic, which is limited by your experience. And that desire opens up the communication between you and God and the Holy Spirit to bring you revelation so that you can grasp some things, some reality that are beyond your logic. And put in motion within you God's power to achieve God's purposes in your life. Okay. See, there is a statement just here after the verse I just finished reading you. That, you know, it just, your mind can certainly not grasp clearly. You know, the second verse says the same was from the beginning with God. So repeating the same thing. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So he was the creator. Okay? Now, so he created all things and he became created himself. Do you see that? He said, this is a circuit that, you know, where this, you keep going. All right? All right. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. So you see, this is what happens. He was bringing life, our life come from God. as of that life that is, when it's communicated with us, when we receive that light, we are able to be able to have that light, but that light and that life enable us to see and understand things that otherwise we cannot understand, we cannot see. Okay. So you see, this was a big event that took place at that time. Okay. God became man and was both at the same time fully God and fully man. So verse 10 of the same chapter of Gospel of John says, He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not recognize him. So this is repeats what I was saying just a minute before. Okay. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. I mean, this is another aspect that is really amazing about the whole thing. There were also many prophecies about talking about his coming, the position that almost everything was predicted before. And the people that shouldn't have known were the ones that really rejected him. So, but, says in verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. To those who believe in his name. So this is the thing. You see, the fact that the key thing to be able to receive that is the fact that we believe in him. And as we believe in him, you know, we become children of God. People think, you know, everybody's a child of God. That's not what the Bible says. Well, it says that the people in the world are actually the child of the devil. People don't like to hear that. Well, the fact is, it doesn't make what you like to hear or what you don't like to hear. What counts is the truth. See, the truth doesn't change because of what you feel. The truth doesn't change because of the way you want it. The truth is that, the way it is, you know, the world can change. Everything can change. You can change. Today, you are today in one way. You know, look at the picture 10 years ago, and you don't look the same. We all know that. You know, well, but God doesn't change. The truth doesn't change. And so there is something that is stable and doesn't change, that we can become also stable as we depend and we are connected with that truth. Okay. Now, it's interesting to see how Jesus operated, though, when he came on earth. Because, you know, the idea that he was God often distorts our understanding of the way he worked on earth. If in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, explain very clearly what the way he operated. He said, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death. Yes, death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those who are in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, the idea is this, that when Jesus operated on earth, he renounced to all the attributes of God. He was not operating as God. Everything that he did, he limited himself to operate like we do. For this reason, he could be our example. Everything that he did, even in his miracles, were not done as God. Were done by somebody that was anointed by the Holy Spirit, like a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, through who the Holy Spirit could work. There are many scriptures to show that and to prove that, but one of them is Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You see, this way, we can relate to him as our brother. We can learn from him to do the things that he did. And this was God's plan from the very beginning, that we become like him, that we are transformed into his image. And the only way to do that, for us to even think about that, is that we have to look at him the way he operated. Because if we operated like God, we cannot do that. But he is operated as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And we become anointed by the Holy Spirit. Then we can operate like he did. That was God's plans from the very beginning. That was the condition in which Adam was before he fell. What Jesus did was nothing else to try to make us go back to what we were or what we should have been if Adam didn't fall. He was bringing back to the condition Adam was before the fall. Now, we could not do it ourselves. But he made it possible for us to be that way as he paid for our sins. And as he paid for our sins, he took our sinfulness and gave us his righteousness. So when we accept him and accept what he has done, the legal aspect of our position with respect to God is changed. We become forgiven because of what he has done. He paid for the price. He died for us. See, the price of sin is death. He died for us so that we can be receiving his righteousness. This is what the Bible says. So really, you know, there was a death penalty on us, and that has been paid for. And because that has been paid for, you know, from a legal point of view, two people cannot be condemned for the same action. So if one took it, even in the legal system, it worked that way. Two people cannot be condemned for the same thing. If one paid for it, the other one can go free. This is what happens. So we have a reason to be grateful, a reason to acknowledge, a reason to rejoice, because we don't need to go through what he went through. He did even much more than that. And when we understand, you see, this is why it's so important for us to have the understanding. Otherwise, it's just, you know, a baby born 2,000 years ago. We have to understand the implication of that birth. We have to understand that this was just the beginning of the implementation of God's plan through his life, so that we may come to the place in which we can receive his righteousness and he can receive his life in us. See, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the biggest miracle that we can ever think happens to us. Our heart, our spirit, is not anymore a spirit ruled by sin, but becomes pure and changed into the spirit of a son of God or a child of God. We start living in a completely different dimension. Now, that doesn't mean that our mind is completely changed. Our mind has all the memories and experiences that need to be corrected, and that needs to be worked on, but our spirit is now in relationship with God, and we can be free from the consequences of sin that was coming to us from the beginning. This is really so important. You know, this was so clearly prophesied in the Old Testament many times, but for probably the most important, the one that goes more in detail, is the one from Isaiah chapter 53. You know, it says, he was, verse 3, it said, he was despised, he's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we did, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Actually, the translation here doesn't really reflect the Hebrew there. It says, really, he borne our sicknesses and carried our pain. That's the most accurate translation. Yet we esteem stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, this is really the key that we are celebrating. We are celebrating the fact that he was starting to move in that direction. He was materializing the possibility for us to be forgiven and to be set free. And the setting free, here, as you can see, is from sickness, from disease, from pain, from sin, from everything, or everything, you know, for bondage. Every of these things were taken care of in one single life. You know, this is what makes all the difference. When we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we become new creations, new people. We are not anymore normal human being. We are children of God. Children of God. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says very clearly, therefore anyone is in Christ. That means, you know, being in Christ means that you believe in him. You know, it's not a question of going to church. It's not a question of, any type of making sure that, you know, you agree mentally with him or whatever. No, it's a question that you accept what he has done for you. You have to accept that what he has done for you and believe that what he has done has made a difference in your life, has paid for your sins. So that means, you know, to start with, that you have to believe that you needed somebody to pay for your sin. If you, you know, today, nobody likes to talk about sin anymore. I mean, they don't even you know, Christian circle, instead of talking about sin, they talk about mistakes. Well, mistakes is not a sin. You can make a mistake. It's not a mistake. When you make a mistake, you correct it. But the sin, you can't correct it. He did it. He corrected it. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, you know, that's when 1 Corinthians 5:17, 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means he's believing him, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, that's the greatest miracle that can happen. Because, the spirit is much more important than the physical body. physical miracles are great to see and everything else, but they're temporary. Spiritual miracles, they last forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So, this is the basis for us to rejoice about Christmas. Let's see how to actually implement it. You know, let's go back to Luke chapter 2 and see what happened with the shepherd there. Now, when they have seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told concerning the child. So they've made widely known what they were told by the angels. That's the first thing that happened with the shepherd. And all those who heard marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. So, you know, at that time, there was actually an interference from the spiritual world to the physical world to the degree there was is not quite normal. You know, people generally can have a vision or something, but when it's, you know, a crowd of angels come in and make that kind of an announcement, must have been an important situation, must have been an important event, okay? And so this shepherd went around. I mean, these were just normal people. Now, I'm going to say, why shepherd and not some religious important guy? Well, evidently, God have a different opinion. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But the idea is that the shepherd went around telling everybody what they experienced. Seems to me that if we have a real experience about what Jesus did to us, what our reaction should be if we are really being influenced, affected so much from this experience we had. And they just had the, you know, the shepherd weren't changed. They just saw the angels. We are much more than that if we accept Jesus. You know, we are new creation. I mean, our experience is far superior to what the angel, to the shepherd had. If they went around telling everybody what happens, you know, what should we do? Are you following me? So one of the consequences maybe of us celebrating Christmas is that we should actually do at least like the shepherds did. We should share what we have. We should acknowledge what we have. We shouldn't be able to keep it in. Are you following me? Praise, I mean, that shows that we are actually appreciating and we really feel something about it. Because if we feel nothing, my question is, what happened? To the degree that we are impacted by an event in our life is going to be reflected on what the way influences, the way impacts our life. The way it's manifested in the way we act after that event. You know, when you meet with God, you are not the same anymore. Your life has to have changed. Okay. Let me continue here. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Another thing here. You see, you start pondering what took place in you. You start thinking about it. You start meditating on that. You start wanting to understand what took place. You want to not just on the surface, but you want to go in and get everything that you can get from what took place. Shouldn't we be doing the same thing? Shouldn't we just get, instead of being busy running around and shopping, shouldn't we focus and concentrate on what took place so that we can maybe receive better revelation and understanding on what actually we have today that we didn't have before. Because there is so much that we can get in God that we cannot even imagine it. See, there is so much that God has provided for us. But the degree in which we are going to receive that is the degree in which we are going to seek that. The more we want it, the more we dedicate ourselves for it, the more we spend time with Him, the more the Holy Spirit can work in us to give us revelation, understanding, power, and the ability to cope with situation in our life that is going to manifest God's power in our life. Okay. What do you mean? Okay. So pondering this out. Verse 20, Luke 2:20. Then the shepherd returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they heard, seen, and told them. So really, another thing that you should be the normal result is you go around glorifying God. You mean you are there magnifying what He's done, glorifying God, thanking Him, gratitude, and everything else that is going to be a manifestation of what's going on in your heart toward Him. So those are some of the things. You know, the way it happened then is, that's today. I mean, if we celebrate, we should celebrate the same way as they did. Are you following me? See, the idea, God was taking initiative to get closer to us and to enable us to get closer to Him. Shouldn't we, as a result of what He has done, desire to get closer to Him? And that's what our focus, that's what our desire, that's the way we should spend the time at this time if we want to remember, if we want to talk about Jesus' birth. That's the focus that we should have. The desire, God wanting to get closer to us, we wanting to get closer to Him as a response of His action. You know, we get closer to God when we are born again. That's the only way. Jesus said it very clearly. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know, the implication pretty clearly are, you know, unless you take that step, you know, it shows it very clearly. You know, born again means you are born from God. You see, it's not they're born from man, are not born from a physical thing. You are born spiritually by what? By accepting Him, by receiving Him, by acknowledging what He did for you. So, you know, the bottom line, the best things that you can do for Christmas, if you are not accepted Jesus, is to accept Him. And if you accepted Jesus already, is to make a new commitment to Him, to want to be get closer to Him, to start manifesting more of His life in you, because He wants that so much, to the point that He sent His Son to die for you, so that He went through agony and pain and everything else, so that you can have as a choice. You know, we didn't ask Him to do that. That was His idea. Some of us, maybe for part of our life, all of us, didn't even care. So, I think that, to me, is the key to celebrate Christmas. Would you agree with me? Amen. So, you know, it's accepting Him is not a such complicated thing. It's not something that you have to really be there. I mean, it's a good deal. If you want to talk about deal for Christmas, that's the best deal you can get. It's very simple. You know, you say, yes, you know, I need you. I need what you have done in my life, for my life. And I want it. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. And I receive it for me. Amen. You know, you don't need formulas. You don't need anything. You just need to say it. You see, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus believe that he's raised from. You see, the belief is essential. Without believing, you can't. You know, you can go through the motion, you can go through the word. You have to believe what he has done for you. That's where it starts. If you believe that, if you believe that he is who he said he was, and he is. See, that's the first part. You know, otherwise, forget it. It's a waste of time. Church, you know, it's not church here. We are not talking church. We are talking relationship between you and the living God. Amen. Are you following me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So I myself, you know, I'm 2 weeks before Christmas in 1972. You know, and, you know, he just was gracious enough to give me revelation about the love of the Father. Nobody came to tell me. I, by myself, get to receive that. And I was seeking, but I didn't have anything. I was an atheist and a scientist. And I, that day changed everything in my life. Everything changed. Short after, even quit my job. That's a change. After having studied for many years and getting results there, whole thing changed, you know, because I knew what was important. What I was looking for before, I got it then. Hallelujah. So I know I myself like all the time to recommit myself to God. I get more committed all the time. You know, our relationship with him, with Jesus, is like a marriage. And many people will get married and then, you know, just things, after they get married, things go down. That's not the way it should be. It should get better all the time. And it's the same with God. Some people, you know, just get the initial excitement about meeting him and then fizzle down. It should get better all the time because God calls us to develop and to get closer to him as we respond. Amen. Well, I don't want to keep going because it looks like it's time for, I could keep going for another week. But no, I think we should, how many want to make a recommitment today? Amen. So let's pray together. You know, I believe in confessions. In confession, not necessarily the thing we use, confess your sin. You confess the word. Because, you know, if you focus on your sin, that's where you're going to stay. You acknowledge your sin and throw them away and just move on with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's make this confession here. You know, it starts with believing. So, Heavenly Father,
I believe
that Jesus
is your Son,
and you send him to set me free. I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your desire to set me free. Today, I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm healed. I'm loving you more and more because in me is the Holy Spirit. Guiding me, strengthening me, empowering me to walk like Jesus walk. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, one of the things that just want to add one thing. Excuse me. You know, we have to receive from the love of the Father. One of the things that God calls us to do is to love Him with all our heart, with all, but to also love our neighbors and ourselves. And one of the things that's calling us to do, maybe, you know, for Christmas, to show love to somebody. You know, somebody that, you know, we celebrate, to have people that maybe are lonely, that they are, don't have things, that you know, people that sometimes are poor or are lonely. They at Christmas, instead of being joyful, they are sad and they're hurting. Well, one good way to do something for them is to just welcome them, minister to them, give them something so that they feel that somebody loves them and God loves them. But not just in the physical. You use that on both ways. You show that you do that because of the love of God, that God loves them and wants to minister to them. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed Christmas. You and your families.